Everybody, and welcome to the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge, a special edition of the Power Is Now online radio. My name is Eric Lawrence Frazier, and my co-host, Monette Mo Poetic Miles. Thank you for joining us today online. Thank you for finding the Power Is Now on Blog Talk Radio. This show is being broadcast nationwide on embedded radio players on Facebook, Twitter, Active Ring, and the websites of many real estate agents, brokers, and trade associations nationwide. I invite you to embed the Power Is Now online radio player on your website as another resource for your clients or employees. The Power Is Now is also a great resource for information for anyone interested in buying or selling real estate. The embed code is located at blogtalkradio.com/ The Power Is Now. For those of you who are listening by telephone, thank you so much for investing your time into today's show. It's a beautiful day in Southern California and a great day to hear from two extraordinary poets, the electrifying Elnora and Brittany, the poetress. We'll be right back right after this commercial break.
Here's a question for any real estate professional out there. How do you generate leads at an affordable price? Well, we've had a talk with hundreds of buyers, sellers, and agents, and the one thing we've learned is we can't seem to find each other anymore. That's why we built Kazoo.com, the largest social media platform for real estate agents and loan officers, where you select the clients you want to work with and not the other way around. Doesn't that just make a lot more sense? It's spelled Kazoo.com, and it doesn't stop us from having around 1 million buyers and sellers online at any given time. Kazoo.com. That's Kazoo.com. I know what you're thinking. Not another commercial. I'm so sick of them. Well, let me paint a scenario for you in which you might be interested in hearing this 30-second break. How about if this was your ad, letting people know about your business, putting you on the map? Eric Frazier and his team are interested in making a difference for you and your company. Find us at thepowerisnow.com and let us change your life. The power really is now. Take advantage of it.
And we're back. For those of you who are just joining us today, it's a special edition of the Power Is Now Radio called the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. And I'm with my beautiful co-host, Miss Monette Mo Poetic Miles. Welcome to the show, Monette.
Thank you so much, Eric. So excited to be here. Great show lined up.
We really have a great show lined up. And so, Monette, why don't you tell our audience about the Literacy Lounge?
I'm so excited about the Literacy Lounge because it's a wonderful and great division of the Power Is Now Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide leadership, education, and support to individuals nationwide. And we have some great individuals on the line, so I'm so excited about the show today, Eric. Are you excited?
I am excited. And you know what I love about the Literacy Lounge is our slogan, "The Power Is Now, and the spoken word lives forever."
Lives forever. Yes.
Well, we have some young folks who are practicing poets, and we introduced them earlier in the show. We have the electrifying Elnora and Brittany, the poetress. Monette, why don't you introduce our guests formally to the audience?
Wonderful, I will. Electrifying Elnora is 22 years old, and she works at Walden Family Services as an advancing youth advocate, and she is a wonderful mentor in the community, helping young people. There's so many things I love about her, but one thing I love about her is that she was very diligent in finishing the four-week Let's Write Out Loud class. So she's an official published poet. Her book will be coming out really soon, and so she's going to be performing and sharing her words and bringing poetry to life, and she's just awesome. She wants to be in between like a doctor and a lot of other stuff, but I let her tell her story, but she's just awesome.
Well, welcome to the show, Elnora. We appreciate
Hello.
You taking time from your busy work and your life to share your poetry with us on the show.
It's good to be on the show. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, who's our other guest, Monette?
Our other guest is the beautiful Brittany, the poetess, who's 23 years old. She's an ex-foster youth and currently also works for Walden Family Services as a youth advocate, speaking to foster care youth and social workers and foster parents about the William Bridges framework. And her future is to open up her own hair salon and travel the world doing hair shows. Bomb girl right here. Also a published poet, also diligent in finishing the Let's Read Out Loud poetry program, and her words are just spellbinding.
Well, I'm excited, Monette, about these two fantastic poets, the electrifying Elnora and Brittany the Poetress. And before we begin with their poetry, Elnora, could you please kind of share with us some more about yourself? First, what got you into poetry in the first place?
Well, I've been doing poetry for a few years now. And I thought of it as a way of expressing how I feel and getting my emotions out, because I wasn't always good with speaking and, you know, talking to other people. So I decided to write it down on paper, and it became a good outlet.
Well, that's great. So poetry can be very therapeutic, and I can understand how if you've had challenges with getting your feelings out, it's much easier to write your feelings down than it is actually sometimes to speak to someone about them, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So you are an established poet now. You're a published poet, and Monette played a big role in doing that through this class. Monette, tell us about the program in which Elnora, the electrified Elnora, participated in and end up having a published book.
Okay, wonderful. The Let's Write Out Loud Poet is a creative writing program designed to provide students an opportunity to discover different styles of poetry, become proficient at identifying figurative language, and identifying the power of words through verbal influences. And they have to complete the entire sessions and get a certificate of completion in order to become a published poet. And then their books are published in wonderful works provided by us, and then they're off traveling all over the world, sharing their work, volunteering, helping to inspire others through their work.
Well, that's fantastic. So, Elnora, are you excited about the opportunity to go share your work, your poetry, and to travel?
Yes, I am. Very excited.
Well, this is a great opportunity right now. This audience is nationwide, worldwide, in fact. And folks, Elnora is about to share her poetry with us. And if you like the poetry, please go to our Facebook, go to our Twitter, go to blogtalkradio.com/powerisnow and post up your comments about this wonderful poetry that we're about to hear. Now, I understand you have two poems you're going to share with us today.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so let's start with the first one. And what is the title? And kind of give us an overview before you share it, if you don't mind.
Okay. One of my poems I'm going to read first is called Black is Beautiful. I wrote this poem because recently I watched a show on BET called Dark Girls, and it inspired me to write a poem about it.
Great. I've heard great reviews about that show on BET, Dark Girls. And so this poem inspired you, that show inspired you to write the poem.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, let's hear it.
Okay. Black is beautiful. Beauty is skin deep, that's what they say. My skin, dark as the night sky, yet pretty as morning sun. Black beauty, that's me. I used to hate the skin that I'm in. All there was negativity. And even though I'm strong, I still let it get to me. Made me feel small, told me dark was bad, evil, and unwanted. I believed, not knowing the words that they say, still haunted. I've grown, though, and realized that my black is beautiful. My black is lovable. My black is wanted. I now love me and this skin that I'm in. I hold my head high and with pride. I'll teach my kids and my kids' kids that their black is beautiful.
Fantastic. That's
awesome.
That is awesome. Oh, my goodness.
Awesome. Wait, let me do it.
Thank you.
It's finger snap time for sure.
Yes.
Goodness. Wow. How long did it take you to write that poem?
Not long. I wrote it after I got done watching the show.
So what inspired you the most about the show?
Well, I was actually, because they talk about like the differences between light-skinned and dark-skinned, and I'm dark-skinned, and growing up, everything that they were saying was so true, like how you get talked about and laughed about, and dark-skinned people always are made fun of, and people don't really like dark-skinned people, and, you know, they associate dark skin with something bad. And so once I saw that, you know, I wasn't the only person that experienced that type of negativity growing up or still to this day, you know, it inspired me to write something about it and express my feelings.
Well, it's a beautiful poem. Monette, as an expert poet, and poetress. How would you rate that poem, and what are your comments about the work? It seems so deep where she was coming from.
Well, I never, ever want to say I'm an expert at poetry, because then I will stop learning and growing and being inspired by poetry. But her words were so rich and cutting and true and rang freedom, and it rang, I am not a jigaboo. It rang, I am strong. And she, I love when she says something to the effect that she's comfortable or she likes the skin that she's in. And that is so awesome, because as a woman, if you don't like the skin that you're in, then you'll never appreciate other people's skin. And I have to say this, and I know this about her to be true, because she has a daughter who I fell in love with. I think her daughter's what, 4? She'll be 4 in October. She was sitting in my lap during the open mic that we had, and she touched my hand, and she said, I like your hair. And I had never heard of a 4-year-old giving me a compliment about my dreadlocks. She's 4. Most kids aren't even conscious of a hair style at 4. And so it lets me know that her mother has been teaching her to also love the skin that she's in and love her hair texture. She had beautiful braids with beads at the end, you know? So she just warmed my heart with that. So I know that that poem is not something she just wrote. She walks it out through how she trains her daughters and teaches her daughters.
Now, Brittany, we're going to be hearing from you in just a minute, but as a fellow poetress, what do you think about Elnora's poem?
I think it's really inspiring to a lot of young girls, because like she said, I know a lot of girls that are fairly dark-skinned, you know, and I can't even sit up here and say I've never done it, because I have, you know, like I've made the black joke, like you're black, you know, and I've laughed at the jokes, you know, me not being, you know, that dark, I never understood the pain that it caused some people, you know, and the stereotype that follows behind it, you know, like, oh, well, she's too black, she can never be a model, or, you know, she's too black, she can't have good hair, you know, and that stuff really gets to young girls, and I know that growing up, going through that, that could really tarnish a young girl's heart, you know, it could really stop a young girl from her dream, and I think it was very inspiring.
Wow. I appreciate your honesty and, you know, making it personal. And that I don't think we called church to order here, but that was a confession.
Right. You need to pass a collection plate, yes.
You're forgiven, my child. Go in peace. Sin no more.
Right.
Great poem. My goodness. The electrifying Nora. Folks, did you hear that? What's the name of that poem again?
It's called Black is Beautiful.
Black is Beautiful. You know, I have a poem that I wrote about black beauty. And in fact, I think I shared that poem on our first show, Monette. And your poem kind of reminds me of that. But of course, your poem is far more deeper and complex than mine. Mine
is
rather superficial and shallow.
Oh, my gosh. There's no comparison to the power from the power of the pen.
This is true. Great job electrifying Nora. Folks, we're going to let that poem simmer a little bit. We're going to take a commercial. We'll be right back with more from the electrifying Nora, the poetess.
Remember August 20th, 2009? We do. The Power Is Now had just debuted, and over 200 shows later, we're still here going strong with top experts who really understand your financial frustrations and are here to help. With segments such as Headline News, where we break down the headlines of the day, The Real Estate Resource, where experts discuss opportunities for you, and The Power Is Now University, where professors and economists teach you how to deal with financially related challenges, the only goal we have is to help you make better, more informed decisions. The power really is now, folks. You gotta love it.
And we're back. For those of you who are just joining us, welcome to the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. Folks, we have just heard an incredible poem by the fabulous, electrifying Elnora. She is a great poet and has shared with us a poem entitled Black is Beauty. Black is Beauty, inspired by the movie on BET called Dark Girls. That incredible poem, folks, I hope that you share it with other young, dark-skinned women they might appreciate what this poem has to say. Thank you again, Elnora, for joining us on the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge, and I really appreciate the work you put into that poem. What is the next poem you're going to share with us tonight?
Well, before, wait, real quick, before she shares that poem, I hear a BET commercial for the movie, I'm just saying. Let me throw a plug in there for BET.
All right. I haven't seen the movie yet. Monette, have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't. But regardless, I think we should pitch it as a great poem to be in the movie.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my goodness. You're right. So maybe if they come out with Dark Girls 2, they can feature Elnora.
Yes.
Right. In the meantime, folks, Elnora was inspired by this movie to write Black is Beauty. So go and check it out and see where that inspiration has come from. BET, Dark Girls. So, Elnora, what is the next poem you want to share with us?
The next poem is called My Child. I wrote this poem a few years ago when I had just had my first daughter, who will be 4 in October. And I was feeling, going through a lot of emotions, and so I decided to make something positive of it because, you know, being pregnant is not always a positive experience, you know, with negativity from other people and things like that. So I decided to write a great poem about it and put my feelings down.
So let me ask you, how old were you when you had your first child?
I was 18 when I had my baby.
Hmm. So 18, pregnant, I can understand what a challenging time that was for you personally and perhaps for your family.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. My child, I loved you from day one, before I knew your sex. You became my world, and you weren't even here yet. Hearing your heartbeat, seeing your fingers and toes, awaiting your arrival until you came home. So blessed to see you here, to hold you and to hug you, my little miracle baby. Your smile lights up my heart. Thanking God for bringing you my sweet angel baby. That's it.
All right. I think finger snaps in order.
Yes, definitely.
So for those of you who are listening, if you want to snap your fingers, go ahead. We can't hear you, but just go ahead and snap those fingers. What do you think about that poem?
I thought the poem was excellent. Very personal, especially being 18. She could have been writing about, you know, I'm pregnant and I'm getting a county check and we're going to buy these new shoes. Or I can't wait to get my EBT card so I can get some extra ribs or shrimp. But she wrote a poem about awaiting to see this baby and calling her princess, or I'm not sure if I paraphrase that right, but she loved her before she even met her. And when you're 18 and when you're pregnant, you need so many resources and you're going through so many emotional challenges. I didn't hear that in that poem at all. And poetry is very truthful. It does not lie. And she could have easily, like I said, wrote about something totally different when you're 18. When I was 18, I was not thinking about what she was thinking about. I was thinking about, okay, I'm going to buy some new shoes. I'm going to have a little money. You know, that could have been her mentality.
Right.
So it was really, really awesome.
Well, that's a great point. It shows that you are, and well, you were a very mature 18-year-old. And looking back on it now, 4 years later, how would you say that you handled the whole pregnancy and family and situation? And where did this focus on the love of the child as opposed to all the other things that the Monette just described for us? Where did this focus come from?
Well, I think now I love my baby even more than the day she was born. And I feel like I took the whole pregnancy and the negativity from, you know, family members, friends, and teachers and all that. I took it very well because I've grown up in foster care and I know what it's like to not have anybody to love you and to go through those feelings and those emotions. And so when I was pregnant, my main thought wasn't, oh, well, this person doesn't approve or that person doesn't approve. It was just about focusing on being the best I can be for my babies whom I brought into the world and giving her everything that I could possibly give her so she would not have to feel any of the pain or any of the hurt that I ever felt in my life. And that was just my goal. And it's still my goal to this day. You know, I mean, I'm going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen. But my baby will never feel what it is that I felt.
Wow.
That is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And what a way to turn, you know, a negative and challenging life into a reason, a source of strength to be just the opposite for your child. Growing up in foster care, having no one that really loves you inspires you to love your child, to provide a kind of love that you never really experienced yourself. Brittany, share with us your thoughts on her poem.
Well, me too, as being a young mother, I think the poem, a lot of girls, like Miss Maltz Hedick said, a lot of girls, their mind frame at such a young age is completely different. Like she said, they want to be out, oh, I can get this, I can get that. But her heart and her mind were focused on, okay, I know I brought this child into this world, and I'm going to love this child to the best of my abilities, no matter any trials or tribulations I may go through or whoever doubts me. I'm going to do this because I love my child, you know. And it's hard to come across a lot of young girls whose mind frame is so advanced like that, you know, because I know a lot of girls, you know, and their mind frame is like, you would think she was speaking as if she was, you know, in her 20s, you know, grown, you know, mentally, but she took it to a level where she's showing you that no matter what she goes through in life, like she said, the foster care and all that, whatever her situation was, she's still going to be able to love her child through it all. Because I know some girls that's not even able to do that, you know, they might let the world and negativity get to them, but she kept hold to her faith, you know, and she loved her child regardless of anything. And I think it was really inspiring. I loved it.
Yeah.
I might have to have you back just as a commentary co-host. I'm sorry.
Right, exactly.
No, great job, and so true. I mean, how is it that a person growing up in an environment, not being loved, being abandoned, having to grow up in the foster care system, how do they even know how to love? That has to be a God thing, to be able to have a child and to love them in a way that you never experience yourself. Elnora, thank you for sharing your poetry with us tonight. It has been outstanding. And I hope that your published book of poetry sells millions. And folks, I'm going to try to get it and make it available for the Power Is Now listeners on the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. Next up is Brittany. And Brittany, you know, I could tell you're a great poet just by the commentary you provided to us tonight on Elnora's poetry. So thank you again for being on the show, and tell us about the poem you're going to share with us tonight.
Okay, the poem that I'm going to be sharing is called Who Am I? Because I grew up in foster care also, and I started writing poetry when I first got into the system because I'm the oldest of four. I have two younger sisters and a younger brother, so I never really could express myself to them, you know, because I'm the oldest, so I want to have to stay strong for them. So I would write it on paper, you know, and express myself that way, you know, because I didn't want to talk to the foster parents or social workers, you know. I just felt like I didn't really have anybody to talk to except myself, you know, so I would write it down on paper. And this poem that I wrote, it's a metaphor. It's about who I am, who I really am, you know, and the thing I'm comparing myself to, I feel like a lot of people will feel where I'm coming from because I know a lot of people feel this way, you know, about themselves.
Okay.
Okay, it's called Who Am I? You may judge me at first, but if you open me up, I can take you to new heights. You will be captivated by my creativity and amazed at the true inner me. I will take your mind to new places. I can take you on a journey to your wildest dreams. If you just give me the chance, I will show you the romance of my heart. I am a book.
Wow.
That's it.
That is great. You are a book. It's the same for, I think that speaks really to everybody. We are all a book, and if you just give us a chance, if you just take the time to read us, you might change what you think about us, right?
Maybe. Right.
In fact, there's a saying, don't judge a book by its cover. And your
exactly.
poem really speaks to that, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Great poem. Elnora, what do you think of Brittany's poem?
Well, going back to what you said about don't judge a book by its cover, people do it so often nowadays, like they'll look at you and automatically pass judgment on you, not knowing your character, not knowing who you are or what you're about. And so I think the poem really goes on that, as in, you know, give me a chance. Everybody deserves a chance. You know, don't judge me. Don't point the finger at me. Take time to know who I am before you pass judgment on me. And it's a personal poem for me because I feel the same way. You know, like being in foster care, when you tell somebody, oh, I was once in foster care, they automatically start, you know, stereotyping you or putting things on you, or, you know, being black, they automatically start stereotyping you and putting things on you. So her poem is really saying, you know, don't do that. Just give me a chance. Read me. Find out what I am. Find out what I'm about. And then you can pass fair judgment. So I thought it was a really good poem, and I really did like it.
Elnora, that is fantastic. What a great observation on her poetry and just on people in general. You're so right. Many people. And I think we can all say that perhaps we've all judged others based on their appearance and made the mistake of perhaps losing out on a great relationship with someone that could add tremendous value to our lives because we never gave ourselves a chance to get to know who they are. But because we didn't like, you know, their hair or the jewelry or their piercings or whatever it might be, their braids or the color of their skin, we denied ourselves an opportunity to experience the richness that they possibly could have brought to our relationship. So I think your comments are right on point. And Brittany, your poem, it's short but powerful, you know. And that's one thing about poetry too, Monette, that poems don't have to be long to really convey a powerful message, do they?
Right, definitely. And I loved her metaphor, although I probably saw it a little bit different than everybody else did. I did see Do Not Judge Me, you know, especially a cover by What's Inside. But I also saw that a cover tells me a little bit about me, a little bit, because a cover is supposed to depict what's inside. So I heard her saying, you know, look at me and know that I'm strength or I'm a pillar of a progression. But also there's more to me than what you just see. And the metaphor was genius. She wrote that very well.
Thank you so much, Brittany and Elnora, for joining us tonight on the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. Monette, now as we bring this segment to a close, any final comments and our praise for these two students of yours? They are incredible. I can't wait for you to bring more on the show and give them a voice to the world here on the Power Is Now online radio.
I am just excited for these ladies. I'm excited to see their poetry journey blossom to something they can't even imagine. I'm excited about their visions and their goals and their families. I want them to know they have the support of me and everybody I connect them with to engulf them in a journey that they'll never forget. And I just hope that as they move and soar toward that poetry plateau, that they will reach out and encourage other people to write. And so it doesn't stop or start here. It is something that is everlasting and forever going and does not end with me, will not end with them, will not end with their kids. And I'm so honored to be the fly on the wall while they were writing. I really was just touched by them, and I'm just honored that they allow me to work with them. So it's just humbling because they're awesome.
Well, thank you, ladies. Any final comments from you, Elnora, and then we'll go to Brittany?
I would like to say I really do appreciate you guys giving me this opportunity to put my poetry out there and to allow people to hear what it is that I have to share. And I hope that sometime in the future I can come back again.
Yay.
Well, you have a standing invitation. Anytime you want to come on the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge, please let us know. We'll be happy to put you on. You are an official house poet. That's what you are now. You are a house poet on the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. You both are. You both are. In fact, you're the first two students we've had on the show. And so definitely put that on your resume. You are a house poet of the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. Brittany.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you to Ms. Mo Poetic for her Write Out Loud program, because it really helped me, because I had stopped writing poetry for a while because I had let the world take me over and, like, you know, I don't need to write poetry. That's, you know, soft and don't nobody want to hear that. But she gave me a voice. She gave me my voice and my words back, and I really appreciate that. I appreciate you guys having me on the show and letting my voice be heard and letting you guys have a little insight on my life and who I am. I really appreciate the opportunity that I had to come and share my voice and to be heard. I think it's something really great. It's a blessing to even be asked to come on the show to speak and have my words put on here and not to be judged, and for everybody to know who I am. And I just want to say thank you to you guys, and I hope I get an invitation to come back to be a co-host or something. Wink, wink.
No problem. See that, Monette, she wants your job.
No, she doesn't need. Well, you already know that's always been my prayer to bring youth on as co-host. Right. She didn't know that. I never share that with her.
Wow. Yeah. So, Brittany, looks like you are a prophetess.
Right.
Monette did share with me in the very beginning of this that she wanted to bring young people to co-host the Literacy Lounge program. And so we're going to definitely give you that opportunity. We wanted to hear two poems from you, as we heard tonight from Elnora. And you have a standing invitation to come on the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge and consider yourself a house poet on the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. You're very welcome. Well, folks, that's our first segment. And as you know, the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge is not only about sharing our poetry, but it's also about honoring great poets of our past. And tonight, we're going to be talking about Nikki Giovanni, one of the best-known African-American poets who reached prominence during the late 60s and early 70s. When we come back, we'll be hearing, not actually hearing from her, but we'll be talking about Nikki Giovanni and sharing some of her great poetry. Hang in there with us. We'll be right back right after this commercial break.
I know what you're thinking. Not another commercial. I'm so sick of them. Well, let me paint a scenario for you in which you might be interested in hearing this 30-second break. How about if this was your ad, letting people know about your business, putting you on the map? Eric Frazier and his team are interested in making a difference for you and your company. Find us at thepowerisnow.com and let us change your life. The power really is now. Take advantage of it.
And we're back. For those of you who are just joining us tonight, is the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. And we have both, Monette and I, have been inspired by these two incredible young poets. We had on the line with us the electrifying Elnora and Brittany the Poetress. They were fantastic, outstanding poetry, so deep, so profound, so insightful. Monette, I was blown away by it. Thank you so much for inviting these two young people to our show tonight.
You are absolutely welcome. It is my pleasure to be around such wordsmiths, such prolific poets, and they're just inspiring to be great, and I'm inspired by them. Great women.
I'm excited about the fact that they're going to be published artists. And
me
that's
too.
All through your program, right, Monette?
Yep, they will be published. Their book will be coming out soon, and they will be traveling with me as often as they're able. We always have a lot of open mics or programs or dinners or banquets or weddings where people are always asking me to share poetry, and in turn, I encourage them to take my place because it's important to inspire the youth. They're the next generation and to pass that poetic torch for them to share. And so I do plan on taking them to New York sometime in the near future and having them perform there and just let them know that the world is endless when it comes to the world of poetry.
That's right. The world is endless when it comes to poetry, to the spoken word, and you certainly have the venues and the opportunities to give them that kind of exposure. You know, Monette, what I appreciate the most about what you're doing is that you're reaching out to at-risk kids and even adults in providing this kind of education and literacy training. And the audience heard them speak about their experience in the foster care system. These are foster care kids, right?
Yes.
Talk about that just for a moment before we move on to our next segment.
Well, the class was open to foster or formal foster care youth between the ages of 14 and 24. And that was the criteria that they fit under this program. And the program was held at the Yes Center in Victorville. And so, yes, I don't know all of their stories, but I do know they are in part of the foster care community, that unspoken, unheard voice in the foster care community. There's excellent foster care youth out there, but because they're unable to be recorded, their voice gets lost. And so it's an honor to be able to give them their voices back and let them know that we care about their stories and what they have to say. So important.
It is important. And thank you again, Monette, for the great work you do. Thank you for exposing the Power Is Now audience to the electrifying Elnora and Brittany, the poetress. I hope those names stick with them.
I hope so, too.
Folks, they were given those names tonight on The Power Is Now by yours truly. So when they become big, famous stars, they'll give me my props on stage in front of 10,000 people. We'll see. Next up is honoring great poets of our past and of our time. And tonight, folks, we have chose Nikki Giovanni. She is one of the best known African-American poets who reached prominence during the late 1960s and early 70s. Her unique and insightful poetry testifies to her own evolving awareness and experiences from child to young woman, from naive college freshman to seasoned civil rights activist, from daughter to mother. Frequently anthologized, Giovanni's poetry expresses strong racial pride and respect for family. Her informal style makes her work accessible to both adults and children. In addition to collections such as Creation, 1970, Love Poems, 1997, The Collective Poems of Nikki Giovanni, 2003, Giovanni has published several works of nonfiction, children's literature, recordings, including Emmy Award nominated The Nikki Giovanni Poetry Collection 2004. A frequent lecturer and reader, Giovanni has taught at Rutgers University, Ohio State University, and Virginia Tech. She was born in Knoxville, Tennessee in 1943, the younger of two daughters in a close-knit family. She gained an intense appreciation for her African-American heritage from her outspoken grandmother, explaining in an interview, "I came from a long line of storytellers." This early exposure to the power of spoken language influenced Giovanni's career as a poet, particularly in her propensity towards colloquial speech. When Giovanni was young, she moved with her parents from Knoxville to a predominantly black suburb of Cincinnati, Ohio, but remained close to her grandmother. Giovanni was encouraged by several school teachers and enrolled early at Fisk University, a prestigious all-black college in Nashville, Tennessee. A black renaissance was emerging at Fisk as writers and other artists of color were finding new ways of expressing their distinct culture. In addition to serving as editor of the campus literary magazine and participating in the Fisk Writers Workshop, Giovanni worked to restore the Fisk chapter of the Student Nonviolence Coordinating Committee, and Giovanni graduated with a BA in History in 1968, went on to attend graduate school at the University of Pennsylvania and Columbia University, New York. Nikki Giovanni is our featured poet tonight. Monette, what a poet she is.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Nikki, being born in Tennessee and also growing up in Lincoln Heights and all black suburbs of Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio, that is, I can understand why early on in her career she was called the Princess of Black Poetry. And when I first heard that, I didn't understand that she was raised in an all black suburb. So that makes perfect sense why she was so revolutionary and on the cutting edge of such raw poetry.
You're right. All-black suburb neighborhood, and then an all-black university. I mean, she was in touch with her culture, with her ethnicity, and it is definitely reflected in her poetry. So speaking of her poetry, Monette, let's read some selections from the great Nikki Giovanni.
Okay, sure. I would like to start off reading Balances by her, which of course reminded me of the two girls that were on because they were talking about their lives as mothers and as poets and as fighting their way to create a balance in growing up in foster care system. And what a coincidence that they read poems about being black and being very proud of that. And she was definitely, Nikki Giovanni was definitely a poet that celebrated her blackness. So how awesome is that? But here it goes. Balances. In life, one is always balancing, like we juggle our mothers against our fathers, or one teacher against another, only to balance our grade average. 3 grains of salt to 1 ounce truth, our sweet black essence or the funky hunkies down the street. And lately, I've been wondering if you're trying to tell me something. We used to talk all night and do things alone together. And I've begun as a reaction to a feeling to balance the pleasure of loneliness against the pain of loving you. The incredible Nikki Giovanni.
Wow, that was powerful and profound. The balancing of, you know, mother and father, teachers against teacher. That's interesting.
Yes, and then 3 grains of salt to 1 ounce truth. That's deep.
Great poem. Any other aspects of that poem that speaks out to you, Monet?
I really love when she says, we're always balancing, and then she starts off with, like, we juggle our mothers against our fathers. And that's deep to me because we don't think of balancing the relationship between mothers and fathers, and we play them against each other a lot. And then I love what she says, or a teacher against another only to balance our grade average. So we're playing these teachers against each other, but we're only averaging to be average. You know, that's deep to me. And then she says, our sweet black essence or the funky hunky down the street.
Nikki is something else. Folks, she is alive and well with us today.
Yes.
Still writing poetry. In fact, I just heard the other day, oh my goodness, there's a movie that came out about her. Wow, it's going to come to me in just a second here. I'll tell you, she was during her time, the Black Power struggle. She was with the Panthers. She went to jail. What's her name?
Angela Davis.
That's right. Oh my God, I heard her at CAM, the California African American Museum, of which I serve, by the way, on the board of directors, and I saw her live and in person, and she was so incredible, so dynamic.
I can only imagine. Oh. Alec Walker just performed in Chicago a couple
days ago.
Wow.
You know, we got to get those guys on our show.
Totally agree.
Let me work on that. Well, folks, the poem I want to read is called Nikki Rosa. And I'm going to just share a little bit more about her background and lead up to reading that poem. Giovanni's first published volumes of poetry grew out of her response to the assassination of such people like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, and Robert Kennedy, and the pressing need she saw to raise awareness of the plight and of the rights of black people. Black Feelings, Black Talk, she wrote in 1967, and Black Judgment in 1968, display a strong, militant African-American perspective as Giovanni explores her growing political and spiritual awareness. These early books, followed by Recreation, 1970, quickly established Giovanni as a prominent new African-American voice. Black Feelings, Black Talk sold over 10,000 copies in the first year alone. Giovanni gave her first public reading to a packed audience at Birdland, the famous New York City jazz spot. Critical reaction to Giovanni's early work focused on her more revolutionary poetry. Some reviewers found her political and social positions to be unsophisticated, while others were threatened by her rebelliousness. Nikki writes about the familiar, what she knows, sees, experiences, Don L. Lee observed in the dynamic voices, one, black poets of the 1960s. It is clear why she conveys such urgency in expressing the need for black awareness, unity, and solidarity. What is perhaps more important is that when the black poet chooses to serve as political seer, he must display a keen sophistication. Sometimes Nikki oversimplifies and therefore sounds rather naively political. And that's a quote from Don L. Lee. However, Giovanni's first 3 volumes of poetry were enormously successful, answering a need for inspiration, anger, solidarity in those who read them. She publicly expressed the feelings of people who had felt voiceless, finding new audiences beyond the usual poetry reading public. Black Judgment sold 6,000 copies in 3 months, almost 6 times the sales level of an expected poetry book. And as she traveled to speaking engagement at colleges around the country, Giovanni was often hailed as one of the leading black poets of the new black renaissance. The prologue.
Wow.
Nikki Rosa. Nikki Rosa, that's what I'm going to read tonight. Giovanni's reminiscence of her childhood in a close-knit African-American home was first published in Black Judgment. The poem expanded her appeal and became her most beloved and most anthologized work. And during this time, she also made television appearances, later published as Conversations with Margaret Walker and James Baldwin. And so with that, let me read Nikki Rosa.
Wait, before you read that really quick, Eric, there was something you said and all that you said about her political views not being very sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And there's a quote that is so controversial. I don't even know how Nikki got published with her controversial self. There was a quote that she wrote, and it said, "I think one of the nicest things that we created as a generation was just the fact that we could say, hey, I don't like white people."
That's a quote.
Yes. How controversial and non-sophisticated is that?
Yes.
How did she ever get published with her revolutionary genius self? I love it. Very racist, but it's truth. It's her truth.
Right. It's her truth. And coming up the way she did, she
yes.
was very perhaps in tune with the feelings and the hurt and the pain of the African-American community. And, you know, during this time, that wasn't, you know, Jim Crow laws were still very much alive in the 1940s.
Right.
So the white man was really looked upon as someone who was definitely not a friend of the black community. It would be interesting to interview Nikki Giovanni today and to see what her views are about race in America and how far we have come. And, you know, let's reach out to her, folks. Look for that interview, hopefully. We're going to reach out to Nikki Giovanni and see if she'll come on the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. So now let's share her poem called, her prose called Nikki Rosa. Childhood remembrances are always a drag if you're black. You always remember things like living in Woodlawn with no inside toilet. And if you become famous or something, they never talk about how happy you were to have your mother all to yourself, and how good the water felt when you got your bath from one of those big tubs that folks in Chicago barbecued in. And somehow, when you talk about home, it never gets across how much you understood their feelings. As a whole family attended meetings about Hollydale, and even though you remember, your biographers never understand your father's pain as he sells his stock and another dream goes. And though you're poor, it isn't poverty that concerns you. And though they fought a lot, it isn't your father's drinking that makes any difference, but only that everybody is together, and you and your sisters have happy birthdays and very good Christmases. And I really hope no white person ever has cause to write about me, because they never understand black love is black wealth. And they'll probably talk about my hard childhood and never understand that all the while I was quite happy. Nikki Giovanni.
Wow.
That's interesting. I mean, she says that a white person can't really write about her because they don't understand that black love is black wealth. It's not about money. It's not about the vices, the drinking, the fighting.
Right.
It's about being together, she says. Just being together. Everybody being together and your sisters and having happy birthdays and very good Christmases. Interesting.
And I love how she talked about the alcoholic, because everyone can relate to that and had an alcoholic in their family that you really wish would have disappeared. But like she said, you still had good childhoods, and you still had these, and you still had your family. And so we understand that they're in your family, but you still have, it's still okay.
No,
when normally kids try to run away from that.
That's true. You know, family is family no matter what. You know, everybody has a drunk uncle, you know, a cousin who's in and out of jail, right?
Right.
You know, you know, people.
Everybody has a pookie.
Did you say a pookie?
Yes, that they're embarrassed about. They yeah. never take out in public.
Right, right, right. But in spite of all of that, you know, love, you know, covers. In fact, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins, right? And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you may not be loved in the world because of all the negative things about you, but you can count on being loved at home in the family. You know, the mother's love, the father's love, the sister and brother love. And they may be embarrassed about you, but they still love you.
Right, in the way that they know how the moment.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Nikki Giovanni. Folks, that's Nikki Giovanni, our poetress of this week's show. And we are going to reach out to Nikki and see if she will join us and surprise everybody and get some of her latest stuff. And just to hear her, I would love to hear her voice right here on the Power
mm-hmm.
Now. Wouldn't that be something?
Yes, it would be.
Talk about,
you know, to go along with the poem you just read from her, there's another quote that I like by her, and it kind of goes with what you just said. But it says, a white face goes with a white mind. Occasionally, a black face goes with a white mind. Very seldom, a white face will have a black mind.
Mm, wow. That.
Wow, is, right?
That is powerful. Yeah, we're the ones assimilating, right? from every aspect of our being, right? From our hair to how we speak to looking at our own culture differently, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of changes take place in how we view people, our own people, because of our need to assimilate and to be liked and to be accepted and to rise the corporate ladder and to be, you know, above it all.
And right.
That's and I think that's what Nikki is speaking to. And, you know, we will assimilate, but they will not. Well, folks, that was Nikki Giovanni. She is our poet that we're honoring tonight, and a great individual, an icon in our community, as a activist, as a poet, as a woman. And we appreciate the great work that Nikki Giovanni has created for us that will last throughout eternity. And that's the power, isn't it, Monette, of the word, right? It lasts forever.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, when we come back from this next commercial break, you're going to be hearing from another great poet, and her name is Monette, Mo Poetic Miles. We'll be right back right after this commercial break.
Are you selling or buying a home? You should wait. Or maybe act now. Are you underwater and need to short sale your property or receive a loan modification? Do you really think that's a good idea right now? How will all of this affect your credit? Who knows? A VIP real estate agent does. As a lender and a leader in the mortgage industry for over 31 years, Eric Brazier has had the honor to personally know some of the best real estate agents in the country. So let him make a difference for you. Go to thepowerisnow.com and click on the VIP agent banner. Complete the form and let us personally connect you to the right VIP agent. The power is now.
And we're back. For those of you who are just joining us, welcome to the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. Folks, this has been an extraordinary time hearing some incredible young poets and then reading the poetry of Nikki Giovanni. I appreciate her even more, having read some of her poetry and reading some of her background. I tell you, she is truly someone we should honor and respect for the great work she has done and the great poetry that will last throughout eternity. Nikki Giovanni. You know, Monette, you kind of remind me of Nikki, although perhaps your poetry isn't as culturally caustic and militant.
Well, wait until you hear this one.
Uh-oh. Well, folks, we're down to that time, in fact. The poetry of your host and co-host, and we're going to begin with Monette, Mo Poetic Miles. Thank you, Monette, for sharing with us your poetry tonight. Let's hear what you got for our listeners.
Thank you, Eric. This poem is called Black and Blue, and it's not about necessarily being African-American, but it's really about being African-American developing black and blue scars from corporate America. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Black and blue. Color of her natural existence. Curious minds pick at her skin. What's going on within? They ask with their eyes, but never out loud. How does she survive the streets we write grants for? An at-risk jigaboo looking for a handout. Yeah, let me meet her five kids that no one has hope for. Her case number is just an ID away. Her life story is on display. Her nationality, oh yeah, black like hot coals. Her race, slow as honey. Her status, she thinks is educated to make money. But her job is never asked to create. Here you go. Just duplicate what's on paper. Because your ideas are too risky. Your tongue is too wise. No one ever taught you how to bow down to supremacy. Confidence, no one can put their fingerprints on. And who is this Jesus she calls upon under her breath as we accuse her of being complicated? I watch her eyes never leave mine. Who is this black woman? Her hair is wool, twisted pin, not conservative but not conformed. Has anyone told her the 70s ended? Because her black power is offensive. How do we break this black diamond down to minerals? If we're not careful, she will shine brighter than our opinions. How can we pick at her core? How can we crush her pride? How can we just make her go away? We've done everything but called her a nigger to her face. As we lavish unkindness to bruise her spirit and pay her just enough to not get comfortable, but not enough to leave. Let's beat the drive out of her. She's going to cause problems if we empower her. She may empower all. And one type of evidence-based practices we try then. Restore is what we do to our budget, not her people. We will never be equal with damaged goods. So hurry, black and blue her dreams before she believes in reality. Her colors bleed new things we couldn't have any handle on. So keep her blackened, keep her bruised, keep her wounded. She's a contributor to our newsstands. Their struggles make great lunchroom stories. If we help and heal, who will we rule then? To be continued, sign bureaucracy.
Wow, that is deep. Oh, my God, who are you talking about there, girl? My goodness. I mean, that's someone who is being held down, denied opportunity, creativity, looked upon as someone who cannot contribute, is of no real value. My goodness, this is the corporate world. This is the bureaucracy that you're speaking of.
Yes, it is.
So, where did this poem come from, Monette?
It came from being tired of jumping through hula hoops that have no rhythm. A working in corporate America that is not really concerned about really, really being effective in the community, but only concerned about us making great lunchroom stories or being in the front page of the news because we can't get a handle on our poverty. That's what it's about.
Wow.
Empowering those people that we're talking about. Because if we empower them, then we can't control them.
Wow. That is so true. And it is fear that if you empower them, not only you not can control them, but maybe they're better than you are.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, Monette. Now, there's no way I can ever top your poetry. And I know, you know, there's no competition in poetry. You always say that. But I just want to be as good as you are. So there. Anyway.
No such thing.
Not going to happen, right? I understand, but I'm working on it. Folks, I wrote this poem many years ago, and it's called The Angel's View of Calvary. And, you know, I've been in the ministry all my life preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? And I've often wondered, as Jesus was being taken by the guards and brought to Pontius Pilate, and as he was led down the road and he was beaten and spat upon and just experienced incredible just brutality, I just wonder what in the world was going on in heaven? What was going on in heaven?
Right. Right, exactly.
So I'm thinking, you know, what were the angels thinking, to be more exact? And so I wrote this poem called The Angel's View of Calvary, and I hope you like it. Please drop me a text, an email, or something, and let me know what you think. Here we go. The Angel's View of Calvary. We were flying in and out of the heavens, looking after the universe, taking care of the Creator's children as usual, when I saw what was happening to the Son of God. He, taking upon himself the sins of the world, and fulfilled all that the prophets had proclaimed and what he upon earth had hurled, and we were stunned. Because we really didn't think that day would come. His soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, for he foreknew the magnitude of his suffering and death. And when we heard his cry in Gethsemane, "My Father, if it be possible, may this cup be taken from me," we were certain that his death would not be a reality, but the Father's will was his reality, and so it was done. It was done. He left heaven and emptied himself of all of his glory. It was done. He put on human flesh and became a servant. It was done. He humbled himself and submitted to a torturous death. It was done. Our Lord was on his way to a rich man's tomb. We are all so in awe of our God and his Son. He is an ever-present reality before us on his throne. Any movement or declaration he would make would signal the host of heaven to come. Our home is a place of unspeakable beauty and majesty, full of light continuously. It is the home of your majesty, the Most High God. We cannot describe it completely in words that you can understand, for we speak in a language that is otherworldly and your mind cannot comprehend. We speak of its beauty among ourselves in angelic prose, divine quatrains, and limericks that leap from our heart that God composed. We are instruments of praise created for his purpose to carry out his every will and command and oversee his human tests. The Most High God is magnificent. His beauty is incomprehensible. The love that generates from his light conjures up a sea of unimaginable, joyful weeping and happiness. When you come to see and to know the one God, you are truly blessed. We are saddened to know that many mortals will never come to know the eternal love that God bestows. His likeness resembles that of jasper and carnelian engulfed in a warm, soft light. It penetrates your soul and evokes deep within you a love and adoration of him that overwhelms you. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircles his throne and symbolizes his omniscient, omnipotence, and omnipresence, for he is Jehovah God, and beside him there is none. I marveled, and thousands, and 10,000s upon 10,000s of angels marveled with me as we witnessed the demise of his Son. God's earthly children thought they were undone, but this was necessary so that they could be reborn. I marveled, and thousands, and 10,000s upon 10,000s of angels with me, as we witnessed Jehovah's great act of love, grace, and mercy, his immaculate conception and human incarnation, his suffering and degradation, his passion and expiation. All the host of heaven wailed at his suffering and man's evil deed. So moved by what we saw, we fell prostrate before Jehovah and asked, "How could this be?" Before he answered, we heard the Son cry, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We jumped quickly to our feet. Our wings spanned 10 feet, swords drawn and stretched forth. We shouted with such rage that the heavens shook and the sun stood still and stopped its shining. We flew to the very edge of Earth's atmosphere and waited anxiously like a wild tiger cage who hadn't eaten for days. We waited anxiously for Jehovah's command to descend and rescue the Son of Man. We waited anxiously for his word and the mighty thunderbolts of heaven to destroy his enemies and to purge the leaven. But Jehovah held his peace and our sword. Sin had completed his work, and death was allowed to have the last word. God said no. He must give up life that the world might have eternal life. We marveled at his incredible act of love and sacrifice. Our voices and the voices of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s filled the eternal dwellings of heaven with sounds of praise and adoration and wailing and moaning for his Son. For we had witnessed something that heretofore was inconceivable, the death of God. Then the throne of God erupted with flashes of lightning, rumbles, and peals of thunder. Seated upon them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Also before the throne, there was what appeared to be a sea of glass, clear as crystal, and in the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, and the second was like an ox, and the third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, and is to come." The 24 elders fell down before his throne and laid their crowns before the throne and said, "You are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Then one of the elders said to the throne of angels, hovering above the throne, "Do not weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Son of Man, has triumphed. Then we saw him on earth, the Lamb of God resurrected, looking as if he had been slain, having suffered the pain of being born into death, nail prints in his hands and his feet, stab wounds in his side, but he could speak. He proclaimed his power in heaven and earth. He summoned us and we came, thousands and thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s of angels with me, invisible to those on earth to see. We picked him up and ascended together to heaven's throne room, and stood with him on the right hand of Jehovah, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men from God from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation." In a loud voice, his messengers, angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s, encircling the throne, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." The 24 elders said, "Amen." All the angels in heaven said, "Amen." And the entire host of heaven fell down and worshiped, and still do to this very moment in time. Just one angel's view of Calvary from here. The end.
Wow.
Well, there you have it, Monette. The angel's view of Calvary, and trying to put myself in the shoes, if the angels have shoes. should I say, trying to put myself in the robe.
Right, right.
Looking at everything that took place with the advent, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's what I wrote, and I'm sticking to it.
I thought it was awesome. It gave me a clear and precise visual of the kingdom of God and all of its details in that. So it was very deep and it was very visual to be able to create a picture like that, which means the Holy Spirit had to have spoken to you in order for you to write an image, because none of us have been to heaven, right? So
well,
definitely.
It was definitely influenced by the book of Revelations that speak about, you know, the creatures in heaven and then the host of heaven. And you have to wonder, you know, we can't see angels, but they are around us. You know, the Bible says to be aware of strangers, they may be angels unawares, right? That's the King James Version.
And right.
You have to wonder, you know, how angels are operating in our lives today and, you know, saving us from disaster, you know. I've had many a days driving home from Los Angeles from work, and I just believe that an angel took over the car because I don't know how I got home.
Right. I totally understand that.
I know that there's somebody out there that can testify to what I'm saying, where you are so tired that you don't know how you pulled up in the driveway and got home, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Or that you've been in close calls and you woke up just in time to save yourself from a major accident. And I just wonder, you know, during the time of Calvary, when Jesus was on earth and going through all that, what must the host of heaven felt and thought in trying to exercise their own power to rescue the Son of Man? So that's really what the poem is all about, folks. And I certainly hope that you enjoyed it. And the next time you listen to it, I encourage you to close your eyes and kind of visualize all the things that I'm talking about. And perhaps it might be even a greater experience for you. I enjoyed it. And I think, too, Monette, when I wrote it, I think I did go to another place. You know, writing poetry is a very spiritual experience anyway. I think we just take ourselves, our minds, to another place as we begin to write. And I have to tell you, I wrote that poem from the beginning to the end in one setting, one setting. And it was a similar experience to the poem I wrote about the barbershop. I don't know how many people go ahead of me while I sat there and wrote that poem from start to finish. So you write like that too, don't you?
This depends. Like, there's been a poem in me probably for the last 2 weeks, and I've only gotten bits and pieces of it, and I'm waiting to get the rest. Some things come in parts. It's very frustrating. It almost feels like you're creatively constipated, if I can.
No, that's a word picture right there.
Right, until it comes out, you just feel like you're full of words.
Well, folks, that is a wrap of The Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. And again, I want to thank our two fabulous guests tonight. Monette, thank you for inviting these ladies to come and share their poetry. The electrifying Elnora and Brittany, the poetress. They have been declared to be house poets of The Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. And so that is a unique distinction just bestowed upon them. And I appreciate the poetry they share with us tonight. And I want to encourage them to continue to write. And they definitely will be back on The Power Is Now Literacy Lounge to host and to co-host, actually, a show. Right, Monette?
Yes, I'm so excited about that. That's been my prayer for a while.
In addition to that, they're going to be traveling with you to share their poetry in live audiences.
Yes, we're excited about that. And they're virgins to the mic, so just to watch them feel their way and get their comfort level and confidence is incredible.
Well, thank you again, Monette, for another great show tonight and for helping me with Nikki Giovanni and sharing her poetry. And folks, look out for another show of The Power Is Now Literacy Lounge in the next few weeks. Please tune in to us on blogtalkradio.com/The Power Is Now. And also on thepowerisnow.com, go to community radio and you'll see the poetry lounge, or not the poetry lounge, but The Power Is Now Literacy Lounge, right there on The Power Is Now website under community radio. Monette, any final words for our listeners tonight?
No, just keep writing.
Just keep writing. And that's an appropriate way to end our show tonight. Folks, this show would not be possible without The Power Is Now team. I want to thank Deidre Davey, our relationship manager. She helps to book the shows and sets up Block Talk Radio. Goldie Ponce, who handles our print media. Praul, who does our website maintenance. Asadip, who handles our graphic artists. And El Princess Eclair, my executive assistant and press release and social media manager. She does a lot of things for the organization. And then, of course, Monette, my co-host, and all the other co-hosts that are participants on the Power Is Now online radio, I appreciate everyone and the role they play on the team. Well, remember, the power is now. We are at our best, and we maximize our success when we act now. Thank you for joining us today on the Power Is Now Literacy Lounge. We'll see you very soon.